If you have your Bible tonight, I'm going to invite you to Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Romans 12, verse 13. We've been taking some time recently in Wednesday nights to look at this practical chapter on Christian living. In the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul grounds everything in the gospel and teaches us who we are in Christ and what we have received by grace. And then beginning in chapter 12, in light of all of that that God has done for us in Christ, he has some exhortations for us in view of God's mercy. And so we've been walking through some of Paul's teachings in chapter 12 on how to live the Christian life, how to put the gospel into practice in everyday life. And so tonight we're looking at verse 13, and there are two main exhortations in verse 13. And like most of the exhortations that we've been looking at in this passage, especially since verse 9, I think these two flow out of love. So he said back in verse 9, really kind of the very first statement of this whole section, he says, love must be sincere. Literally, love must be without hypocrisy. So a genuine love for one another. And so tonight we're looking at verse 13, and I think these two exhortations that he has for us flow out of that command to love and are exactly what the Lord Jesus taught us, to love one another. And so the two exhortations are very simple. They're very straightforward. I promise you we're not going to break any new theological ground tonight in these two exhortations. I just want to try to explain them just for a couple of moments. And then I want to look at a biblical example of each one. And then I'm going to ask a few questions and see if we can try to apply it to our lives and our situation. So Romans 12, verse 13, there are two exhortations. First, he says to the believers in Rome and to us, share with the Lord's people who are in need. So that's one. So share with those who are in need, specifically with God's people. And the second exhortation is practice hospitality. So let's look at the first one just for a moment. I'll explain it, what it means just a little bit, reflect on it. We'll look at a biblical example that I think illustrates it, and then see if we can apply it to our situation. So he says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. The word share there is literally the word that we get our word fellowship from. So he says, fellowshipping with the Lord's people in their needs. So really what he's saying is this idea of fellowship. When we think of fellowship, we think of food. We think of Sunday afternoon lunch after a service. But fellowship, really the main idea behind it is joining together for a common cause, sharing in something. And so sometimes it'll be translated partnership. In Philippians 1, Paul says, I thank God for your partnership, your fellowship in the gospel. So they had a common goal, a common mission in spreading the gospel of Christ. They shared together in that. Here he says, share together, fellowship with, join in partnership with God's people, specifically the ones who are in need. And so I think clearly what he's saying here is if there are believers in Christ, and he calls them saints. The word here is saints or holy ones, God's people, those who have been set apart, sanctified by the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Share with them when they're in need. And here I think he's talking about physical needs. So clothing, food, shelter, basic necessities of life. So when God's people are going through a difficult time, share with them according to their need. And two places I want to take you to look at some of the things that Paul has in mind here. One is right here in Romans. So flip over just a couple of pages to Romans 15. And in Romans 15, Paul mentions a specific example, a specific way that the Christians in Rome can do the very thing he's talking about in Romans 12:13, which is to share with those who are in need. And so in Romans 12, verse 20, or Romans 15, I'm sorry, Romans 15, verse 23, he says, "But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I've been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there." So he says, I'm on a mission. I'm headed toward Jerusalem. Why? I'm on a mission to serve the Lord's people there. Do you see the same term there, Lord's people, that we saw back in Romans 12:13? So same thing. God's people, God's holy ones. So he's on a mission to Jerusalem for the Lord's people who are there in Jerusalem. Verse 26, he gives us some more details. "For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them, for if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. And I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ." So there's one example of the kind of thing that he's talking about back in Romans 12:13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Well, here's an example in the city of Jerusalem. That's the heart of Christianity, right? That's the heart of the church. The church was born in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. There were 120 people gathered in the upper room. The Spirit fell, and that was the core of the church, the New Testament church, and from there it grew and expanded. But as you read through the book of Acts, one of the things that you'll see is that very early on, there was a lot of intense persecution on the believers in Jerusalem. And that persecution caused a lot of Christians to spread, which is a good thing because the gospel was spreading, but it also created a lot of hardship on the Christians who were in Jerusalem. And so many of them were very, very poor. And so Paul was going around, and as he was visiting churches that he had previously started and discipled, now he's going back through, and they're giving money, they're giving help for the poor in Jerusalem. And he's taking that to them to be a blessing to them. That's one way that he's living out and the churches are living out what he's calling us to in Romans 12:13. I want to show you one more that I think shows the importance of sharing together and thinking of each other as a family of God. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts 4 verse 32. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. This is really in the beginning stages of the New Testament church. And there is that poverty in Jerusalem, like I was talking about. And Acts 4, 32 narrates for us a particular instance in which the believers shared their possessions with one another so that everyone had their needs met. Acts 4, 32 says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had." So there's that idea of sharing together, fellowshipping together, even in their goods. Verse 33, "With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet." So there's a very specific example of how the church came together and made sure that the poor among them were taken care of in a physical way. And so we have the example of the early church there in Jerusalem, giving of their possessions for the benefit of their other believers in Christ. And there's even example of great sacrifice in selling costly possessions and bringing the proceeds to be distributed to those who had need. So those are two examples of the kind of thing that Paul's talking about in Romans 12, 13. Now, let me just throw it out to you for some insight, some applications, some discussion. How do you think, let me ask it first this way. Do you think that our responsibility to believers in Christ is on the same level as our responsibility to the general population at large in terms of poverty? Is it the same, or do you think that we have maybe a higher call to make sure that believers in Christ, their needs are met, and then the needs of our community around us? What do you think? You think we have a equal call, or is maybe there a level of priority there? I think so. I don't think Paul or any of the New Testament writers are absolving us of any of our responsibility to help people at large in general. But I do think that there is a specific focus that we make sure that the needs of the body of Christ are met. And just one passage along those lines is Galatians 6, verse 10. Galatians 6, verse 10. Paul says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people." But then he says, "especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So there he seems to have in mind both groups, but he calls a special call to make sure that we're doing good to the family of believers. So I think we have a general call to love others and those who are in need, but there's a special call that we have to make sure that our brothers and sisters in Christ and their needs are met.